WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
We are. That's what we're doing. We're helping you save for the future. I like that. Finally feels like Christmas, though, doesn't it? Finally chilly. It's 36 degrees on Peachtree, and it's finally Christmassy. This morning, we were gathered around the piano playing I Wish You a Merry Little... No. Have a Merry Little Christmas, which is different than Wish You a Merry Christmas. Just wonderful. Actually, it really wasn't quite like that. My kids were out playing iPads. Couldn't get them to sing anything. That's really what it was like this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. Guess what? 7.5 days left. 7.5 days remain in what we're going to start calling as of today a violently flat market. 2015, violently flat. And flat is generous because it's really not flat, because we're actually net negative on almost anywhere you look. Any stone you uncover, any stone you were to turn over, you're going to find something underneath that's probably down a little bit. That's what this year really looks like. So as a reminder to all of us here on Money Matters, on this first day that actually feels like we're in the holiday season, Christmas season, as a reminder to all of our new listeners, and I get emails from new listeners too, sometimes here on WSB you kind of think, well, gosh, we've been doing Money Matters for a long time. This is about almost 7 full years here doing Money Matters on WSB for me. And of course, before that, many, many years with Mike Cavanaugh. And then I had a couple other years before that doing financial radio. And I've been writing with the AJC now, Atlanta Journal, for almost 5 years. And I'll be starting a new column January 5th. Should be in the print edition, I believe. I'll update you more on that. But the longer I do this, financial media, radio, writing, the longer I do this, the more listeners think that I do it full time. So full time media, radio, writing, stuff. I'm the editor for the financial planning part of about.com, so forth and so on. The reality is the vast majority of my time is actually spent on really kind of like the front lines of investing and actual financial planning. Yes, I do market updates every day for Scott Slade and WSB Atlanta Morning News. And yes, I'm here every Sunday morning for Money Matters. And I think that's part of the reason when you hear me talking about the markets, you think, oh, Wes is there on the radio, there on the radio. But really 90% of my time in the real world, at least 90% of the time, is spent actually doing investing in the trenches of investing and navigating this violently flat this year, or just the roller coaster that we all have to make the best of. And what that really means is that I'm back and forth with Ryan, who's here with me this morning, Ryan Ely, waiting for your phone call, by the way. Oh, by the way, we're live here this morning, Sunday morning, 404-872-0750. For Money Matters. Yes, we are a live call-in show. It's the best part about Money Matters. Your questions throughout the week, and then, of course, live on Sunday mornings. That's really the fun part about Money Matters. 404-872-0750 here in the studio, or 1-800-WSB-TALK. But I'm back and forth all week with Ryan and our other investment committee members trying to tweak what we really invest in and trying to make sure that we are in the right income stocks. And the best parts of the income-producing bond market, which has been a challenge this year. And then the best parts of the income-producing real estate market and the income-producing energy market and closed-end fund market. So that's really what we're spending really most of our time on, most of the time during the week. That's a big part of it, because the investing foundation that you use and all those pieces to the puzzle, and I think of this in terms of buckets, all those pieces of the puzzle or components that fill up each bucket, the components that you choose, that's ultimately what's going to bring your retirement plan to life. So it doesn't matter if you're thinking about early retirement or late retirement or on-time retirement or part-time retirement. When I say retirement, I mean being in a position to stop working. That's what we're trying to get to, all of us. Financially in a position to stop working when we want to. It doesn't mean retiring. I remember starting my book out this way. Retirement has this negative connotation. I retire a jersey. It means I put the jersey on the rafters and I no longer play. Doesn't mean that. It's a position to stop working. That's retirement for me. Financially, we've set ourselves up. All of those future years that you're aiming for. So, hey, honey, in 2016 or 2018 or 2025, the big facilitator is the investment piece of the equation. How do you best position yourself today over the next decade so that your savings, really your investments, facilitates the rest of your, all those other non-money related goals? And really, that's for the rest of your life. So this is the important stuff, is what are we really doing? What's the nitty-gritty of making everything work? So logistically, you map it out first. That one of my favorite things in the world to do is it's really a diagram called a blueprint. I draw it out. It's a visual timeline with dates, and it's one page, and it is dates. I draw it out 2016, 2017, 2025. So you know the milestone years that you're aiming for. And by the way, what am I talking about? I didn't really introduce today. We're talking about the importance of why we do all this at Money Matters and then the underlying fundamental components that make a plan work. That's what I want to make sure you head into 2016 to do. It's the fundamental components that an investment plan to make it work, to facilitate all the things that we're trying to do. And in the year of 2016, it's a frustrating year. It's been a rough year for a lot of asset classes. In fact, most asset classes, most buckets have struggled all year long. Here we are with 7.5 days left, and we have most everything you could have thrown a dart towards at the beginning of this year are net negative or down on the year. So it's been frustrating. So again, going back to think of it first, very simply, and one of my favorite things to do in planning is draw out this one-page kind of plan. You visually see all the really important years, we call them milestone years, that you're aiming for. So those are, hey, what's the year when I get Social Security? What's the year when my wife gets social? Or my husband gets social? Medicare dates, pension dates, mortgage payoff dates, kids' college paid for dates. And then you just fill in all the different money milestones you're looking to hit. So if I have $200,000 a day or $500,000 a day or $1 million today, and I'm adding $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 a year or $5,000, whatever it is, for the next X amount of years, let's call it 5 years, 7 years, then I'll have X amount of money in 2022 when Deb and I want to retire, or Carol and I want to retire, or my wife, Lynn Moss, and I want to retire. By the way, I'm not retiring anytime soon. Yes. All of this will help you tremendous. It's going to give you peace of mind when you figure this just one pager out, just by simply knowing where you're going. But it also helps to understand the reality of how much time you have. So the other cool thing about a timeline is that you start to understand or visualize your real time horizon, and understanding that true time horizon is going to go a really long way in helping you understand how you should be invested. Which brings me back to this violently flat stock and bond and international and nearly everything stock market that has happened so far in 2015 and made it really not that easy of a year. Incidentally, and this is I'm tangentially going off here, but incidentally, there's a huge percentage of people that have their real time horizon all wrong. I hear this all the time. Wes, I'm 64 years old. I don't have a lot of time here. I don't have a whole lot of time to make up from a drop in my portfolio value. Well, sure, that's true if you're 64 and you're only planning to live until you're 66. But for most of you, that's just not the case. If you're 64, you're planning for 84 at least. At least I hope you're planning for 84. You're probably shooting for 94. That's 2 to 3 decades away. That's a world away from today. And in the economy that we live in today, just imagine how many important and meaningful and positive developments are going to take place over the next decade or two or 3 decades away. When you think about the last 20, 30 years, how many magnificent economic and productive strides we've made in the U.S. economy, the global economy. Can you imagine what the next 20 to 30 years will be? And you and I need to be there and be involved in it. We need to be involved in at least some part of that so that financially we're not left behind. That is where we have to operate in that. And I think we get caught up in a difficult year and a difficult week, like down 250 points on Thursday. Yeah, the Fed raised rates. Finally, by the way, we'll get to that. Hey, that was big news, but is it really that big of news? We knew it was going to happen. We talked about it for the last 7 years. Finally happened on Wednesday. Fed raised rates a quarter of a basis point. Not the end of the world. Market liked it. Market rallied. Actually, everything did well Wednesday. It was a great day. High yield bonds stabilized to some extent this week. So a lot of positive momentum Wednesday, and then boom, Thursday, down 250. Wednesday, or Friday, down 360 points. And we look at that and we say, wow, what a difficult couple of days. The Dow loses almost 600 points in 2 days. It's not really a comfortable feeling. And we get caught up in, hey, that was a difficult day, a bad week. But really, it's not about the week or the day or the month or the year. It's about the next 20 years. And we can imagine what just happened just in the last 10 years. 10 years ago, there was no such thing as an iPhone. It didn't even exist. Today, it is the center of technological center of so many of our universes, and it's a multi-hundred billion dollar product, and that's all happened in the last couple of years. So we've got to be there over the next 10 and 20 and 30, just so we don't miss out financially and get left behind. And there's a lot more to this. And we're going to continue this conversation today. Good morning. You've tuned into Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750, as we're getting close. Only 7.5 trading days on the year. Mildly flat week, but violently flat in the market over the past week. Straight ahead, more Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
We'll keep you up to date with breaking news all weekend. And first thing Monday at Atlanta's Morning News, any new developments, the war on terror, triple team traffic coverage every 6 minutes, and the 5-day forecast that'll take you all the way through Christmas Day on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB.
Well, hey there. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. All right, we've got some calls on hold here. So the number 404-872-0750. We've got Peggy on hold, Larry on hold, Jackie on hold. We're going to get to those calls for those of you listening, but let's quickly first go to Antonio, who's calling from Texas. Antonio, good morning. How can we help?
Yeah, hi. Good morning, sir. I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Oh, well, my name's Wes, because you're on the air.
Okay. yeah, I just added you to my favorites for the show. So
cool, man.
Yeah, it's a very, maybe it's a very easy question for you. I'm not planning, like you were saying, I'm not planning on retiring anytime soon, at least not for the next 20 years.
Okay. So you're how old are you, 40?
I'm 46.
46. So you have time to go. All right.
But
you just dropped out. But what's your question?
Yeah, I also have a portfolio, and my question is basically, should I hold on to the portfolio? I have mostly it's Latin American stock, and it was doing pretty well until 2 years ago, a year and a half ago.
Sure.
And I want to see your forecast just to see if I will, take a loss and just start paying off the debt.
How much is the debt, Antonio? How much is the debt?
About 30,000.
And is that a credit card or student loan?
No, credit card.
And then how much in the Latin American stocks?
Well, it was good. Up until a year ago, a year and a half, it was up until 15, and now it's down to 10, 12.
Oh, so you've got this. Oh, I see.
So it's coming down.
Yeah, so you've got this emotional vice grip that you're in because your assets have gone down. You don't want to sell them now. And then you've got this liability that's clipping up 22% a year. So here, yeah, the problem is you've got this anchor of, hey, I want my Latin American stocks to come back, and then I can sell them, and then I can pay off the debt. But here's Antonio. That's your issue. The issue, but here's the deal. Latin America is going to continue to struggle for a while because you've got, they're so dependent on oil and commodity prices, and those aren't coming back anytime soon. So you're going to have languishing stocks and then this exponentially expanding debt at 22%. I don't care how great Latin America does, you need to cut bait, sell your Latin American stocks, take that and pay off whatever debt that's accruing at 22% you can. It is an easy question, but I think emotionally it's not necessarily easy for you to do. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Hi, this is Scott Slade from Atlanta's Morning News on WSB. Our 24-hour news center delivers updates 4 times an hour all weekend. Depend on it. We'll be back Monday morning, 4:30 to 9 for breaking news and traffic and weather every 6 minutes. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on WSB Radio. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning to take your phone calls and your questions, 404-872-0750, what we're calling a violently flat week. And violently flat is really generous because even though the week was down a little bit in the stock market, it felt worse than it was because we had down 250 on Thursday and down 360 on Friday. It felt bad, but we were up a lot in the week. So we wiped that out, and then we actually ended up net negative on the week, but not tremendously. And then that's the way 2015 has been. The whole year has been very difficult for most asset classes. So here we are year to date. Dow Jones is down almost 4%. 17,128, and then S&P 500 down about 2.5%. So just a, but if you look at other asset classes, small cap and mid cap down 4 to 5%. International stocks, if you look at the Euro Stock 50, down about 5%. If you look at emerging markets, down 15 to 18%. I looked at Vanguard, emerging market ETF VWO this morning, down 18% on the year. So gold is down 10% on the year. And then bonds have been relatively flat on the year. High yield bonds are down about 6% on the year. Higher quality bonds are that's where you're finding some flatness. So for instance, LQD, high quality corporate bond ETF, down 4% in price. It's paid about 4% in interest. So it's about flat. But if you have 9 out of 10 major asset classes or major areas that are anywhere from down a little to down a lot, and you've got 1 out of those areas that's flat, then it makes for a frustrating year. And that's part of where we stand today. Let's go to the phones here again. We're live here this Sunday morning. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK for your call, your questions about anything that's happening in the world related to money. Are you frustrated where you are? Are you stuck in an investment? Are you wondering if you should make some sort of change? We'll talk it through. I'll give you my second opinion, as objective as humanly possible. We'll start with Larry, who's, it says here, the Harbor Club or some sort of Harbor Club. Is that a, I would suspect, Larry, if you're on the phone, is that a golf club?
Yes, it is a golf club.
Okay, so wait, are you playing golf right now and you're just in the cart on your cell phone, or are you getting ready to play golf?
I'm just waiting on a frost delay to time out.
This is a frost delay type morning. Just so you know, on Peachtree, it's 40 degrees, so you're probably getting close to being able to tee off.
Yeah, about 10:30.
Well, incidentally, that's where Ryan and I would be right now. If we weren't doing radio, Ryan and I would be out with you waiting on the frost delay, so we'd be ready to tee off. So, good morning. How can I help?
Yes. Just in general, to get to the bottom line, at 65, working one more year, been in corporate America for 45 years. But in general, looking to draw off of accumulated assets at a rate of about 5%. And I know there are different management teams and firms that will comment on various drawdown percentage rates, but on average across the years, at about that age, what is your feeling on that target?
Really important question. Larry's base, this is the crux of everything, is summed up in Larry's question. How much money can I really withdraw every year on average from my portfolio? And it is really with great debate that great debate surrounds this very question. And I will tell you that the one thing that gets lost in the debate is when you really start. So the first thing, Larry, I would tell you is that, I'm cognizant of this because of my work with early retirees. And I wrote in my book something called the $1,000 a month rule, which is based on 5%. So if I have, and the $1,000 a month rule is for every $240,000 I have saved, it's really equal to about $1,000 a month in income / drawdown withdrawal over the course of my retirement. And the math is simple, $240,000 times 5% is $12,000 a year or $1,000 a month. But you really can't apply that rule and count on the $1,000 a month rule if you're an early retiree. So if you're 55, my thought is that 5% withdrawal rate is too high. It is in those more traditional retirement years, and it sounds like closer to where you are, Larry. I mean, you said you're 65?
Correct, 65, planning on working one more year. Social Security increases when you get to 66 in my bracket, so that 5% plus Social Security puts me where I want to be.
So if you get into a more traditional age, 66 to 70, then I think it's much easier to count on a withdrawal rate at that level. I think what people run into and run into problems with is if your withdrawal rate is too high too soon. So if you have a 5, or if you're pushing it, and your withdrawal rate's 5.5 or 6, and you're 62, it's too high, too early, because the money does have to last. It's got to last a long time. It's got to last 20 to 30 years. So I think in your particular case, 5% is really the maximum level you want to get to. But I will also comment on something I think it's, again, lost in the conversation, that we're very, very, there's all this talk about how investors want to average. Hey, I want to average around 5%. The problem with that is that you and I both know that there is no average year. We never get average years, or very rarely does the market ever get close to its average. So you're going to have, and this is worth reminding yourself of, and anyone listening, that we're going to have years like 2013, where the market's up 31 or 32%, and your bonds did pretty well, and your stocks did really well, and you, at that year, you, even a balanced portfolio did 10 to 15% total return. Sure, your income was 4 or 5%, but you had a huge amount of total return because of the appreciation. And then you have a year like 2015, fast forwarded to this year, where you have stocks that are net negative 2 or 3%. International stocks are down a lot worse than that. Emerging market stocks are down a lot worse than that. And the best your bonds probably did for you this year is flat. And if you own municipal bonds, you might be up 1 or 2% on the year. So you get a year like this year where you're, there's no, it's very difficult to even, you can't get to a 5 or 6% rate of return in a diversified portfolio unless you owned the infamous FANG stocks, F-A-N-G, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, where the market very narrowly focused on just those four stocks. They did really well, but pretty much anywhere else you look didn't have a good year. So you're not going to be able to, in any given year, if things go badly across the board, it's very difficult to have what you would like to have, which is an average 5% year, right? And we know that if interest rates are so low that you can't buy a CD that gets close to that. And quite frankly, you can't buy a really safe bond that you can just invest in to get close to that. So it's not... It is important to note that your portfolio can be set up to have 5% average returns over time, but you're going to have years like this where that doesn't happen, and you and it looks as though and it feels as though you're taking your 5% and your portfolio is down 5% or more. But I do think it's reasonable, Larry, that over time, over the course of 10 years and 15 years, so you going from 66 to 76 to 80, that you can count on withdrawing close to 5%. And again, anything less than that makes it lower stress on the portfolio. It takes your RPMs down a little bit. And I think that so if you can try to start over the first year or two or three at maybe 4.5 and then increase to 5, then that makes the equation and the math even better. The other thing you can do is that if you start out a little under what you'd like to take, so if you think you're going to take 5, but you withdraw only 4.5, if we do get a good year or two in the market in the next few, then you can really take that excess and it can really help give you that much more cushion as you start out retirement. So number one, this is a great debate within financial planning. I've heard professors and economists say you should only count on 3%. 4.12% is, by the way, the highly agreed upon number. It's about 4.1-4.2% plus a 3% inflation rate on top of that every year. So you take out $50,000 and the next year you take out $50,000 plus 3% and you escalate that by 3% every year. A balanced portfolio that has a little more than half in stock, a little less than half in bond historically over any rolling 30-year period, doesn't run out of money. That's the agreed upon number. So if you go to closer to 5%, Larry, we have to have a decent market. It's going to be real difficult to do 5% a year if you're starting, and when you start, and here's probably the third most overlooked area of withdrawal, has to do with the sequence of returns. If you start withdrawing money and you start it in a really bad year, so you start in 06, and then 07, you get a huge drawdown, in 08, you get another huge drawdown, that actually will impair the longevity of being able to take out 5% because you've got this big hole, and then you have another hole that you're digging in when you're already in a hole. So you've got to be careful in those first couple years, Larry, to understand your withdrawal rate, and 5 is doable, but you've got to reassess if we go through another calamity really, really early in your period of withdrawal. So it's not just, hey, let's set it and forget it. I'm taking 5% for the rest of my life. You've got to make sure that you're understanding and being careful about the 5% and be willing to reassess that or adjust that a little bit depending on how your overall portfolio does. I hope that answers your question, my friend.
Understood.
It's a work in progress. It's something you have to stay on top of. Number one, it is realistic. Number two, and number three, I hope the frost delay allows you to get back on the golf course at, it looks like, the Harbor Club, and that you can tee off at 10:30 like scheduled, my friend.
Will do. Thanks a bunch.
Have a great rest of your Sunday. You are listening to Money Matters. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. If you'd like to find me and the Money Matters team, and again, we do this all week long, trying to figure out the best income-oriented stocks and income-oriented bonds and closed-end funds and real estate and energy area, you name it, that's what we're doing really 24/7 here in Atlanta in Sandy Springs. So as you head into January 2016, if you'd like to come in and kind of reassess, we're there to do that or help you with that. You can find us on my website, wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. There's a contact button on the left-hand side. Those emails come straight to me and the Money Matters team. We'll be happy to talk. Stay tuned. More Money Matters straight ahead right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll cover breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts throughout the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Well, yes, sir. Here we go. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. And again, we've been talking about what's been a violently flat week in, well, violently flat year in 2015, where almost every asset class has struggled to get above the flat line. So it's not really the best numbers are large cap companies or large stocks. S&P 500 has been kind of one of the best areas, down 2.5% in price year to date. The Dow's down about 4% from where it started the year in price. And that's on the surface, and that's the headline. But really, underneath of that, you have small and mid companies down about 4 and 5%. Euro stock 50 down 7. High yield bonds down about 6. Europe, Australia, Far East, so the EFA down about 4. Emerging markets down 18. Gold down 10. And then, of course, oil since late 2014 was over $100 a barrel. Today it's 35. That's a 65% drop. So energy stocks this year, XLE, the ETF that tracks energy companies in the United States, just in 2015, down 26%. Utilities down 10% on the year. If you look at, that's from price. I'm looking at XLU, the ETF for that, with the income of about 4%, call it negative 6. Now, high quality bonds did okay this year so far, about flat. Municipal bonds about flat, plus about 2 to 3% in yield or interest. But when you have 9 out of 10 major areas down anywhere from a little to a lot, then and you've got 1 out of 10 that have done well, or at least flat, and it makes a overall diversified portfolio have a pretty frustrating year. And that's okay. We've had some very solid years in the last 5, 6. 2013 was up over 30% in the S&P. So we have to continue to be patient and diversified and focus on income. And eventually, we'll get the train moving in the right direction. Eventually. We just have to be patient. We're here to help if you need help. Some people can climb the mountain on their own. Some people just plain need a little bit of help. And we're here to help make the journey a little bit easier if you're in that camp. You can email me. Go to my website, wesmoss.com. Emails on the left-hand side, contact button. They come straight to me and the Money Matters team. But stick around. Stay. We've got a whole nother hour of Money Matters straight ahead. News, weather, traffic first, right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.